caught by surprise. Anyway, I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
I have many homes. This is just one of them.
Amen.
Dare to be a Daniel. How many of us are willing to stand up for God and be like Daniel? Well, you're in the Bible. I studied quite a bit about the Bible, and I got to liking about Noah and other people in the Bible that stood up for what they believed, and they obeyed God. They were very obedient. And we know that from Adam down to Noah's time, people had gotten so vile, so terrible that they didn't believe in God. They just got away from him altogether. And God called them to be repented, and they wouldn't repent. So he talked to Noah. Noah was a very, very faithful person. He very, very strong in God. He believed everything God would say and do. So God told him to build an ark to the saving of the people. And if they would repent, for 120 years, he gave them 120 years to repent. Can you imagine? 120 years, and yet they still did not repent. They had never seen rain. And Noah was building the ark, and all that time he hired a lot of people to come and help him build the ark. And they still refused to listen to what he was saying. Repent, change your ways, or else God will destroy the world and all the people in it. Everything. And they were stubborn. They just refused. They made fun of him. They laughed at him. Until that one day, it started raining. And Noah was already in the ark because God told him, get in the ark. And he waited for 7 days in the ark. And they still laughed at him. Look, it's not raining. Look, nothing's coming on. He's in there. What a fool. Ah, but Noah was faithful. He believed God. And then when it started raining, and it got worse and worse, and people were afraid. They didn't know how to swim, I believe. I don't know. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but I believe that they didn't know how to swim. And if they did, they were hanging on to most anything that was afloat, logs, anything. But Daniel was faithful. He stood his ground and he stayed there all that time. 40 days it rained. Here we complain when it rains 2 or 3 days. Can you imagine if we had 40 days? We'd be in trouble. And you know, you're pretty much familiar with everything that's going on in the Bible. I'm sure you are. And then there comes Abraham right after that. Abraham, God called him out to go to the promised land that he promised him. He didn't really obey God right away. He told him to leave his family, leave everything. But first, he took his father with him and Lot and a few others. And they settled in a different place, not where God wanted them to. It took a while before he did finally realize, hey, I got to obey God and I got to do what he tells me to do. So he finally did. He left his home to the promised land. He had never been there, but he knew that there was something going to be nice and good, that he would be able to raise his family and do good. But he never really settled there. The Israelites never really settled in that promised land. He kept moving from one place to another. And he even lied. This is my sister, not my wife. Isn't that terrible? That's terrible. But he had faith, though. He believed God, and he moved with faith. Finally, it dawned on him that he had to believe and really serve the Lord. And then we come to Moses. Moses, trained by the Egyptians to be a great general, how to lead people into battle or whatever. And finally, he killed a person. He killed an Egyptian. And he fled to another country. For 40 years, he had to be humbled by God when he tended sheep. He was a sheep herder. 40 years, he had to learn. It took him that long to learn to be humble. But when God called him to help him and move all the people that were in bondage from Egypt, to take them out into the promised land. He did so. But it took him a while to convince Pharaoh to release the people. And when he did take them out, there was about 2 to 3 million people. Everybody knows that, right? There was a lot of people. Very, very large company to go to the promised land. It would have taken them only 11 days to get to that place. 11 days, but they refused to follow God. They did not have enough faith, and God had to keep them in that wilderness for 40 years. 40 years wandering around, just round like in a circle, never really getting into the promised land. How often are we also promised something and yet we don't listen? We just keep going round and round and round and really don't follow the Lord like we're supposed to. I have that problem too. I'm not alone. There's a lot of people in this world that are doing that, even Adventists, that don't really take it to heart. It took me a while before I really realized it, that there is something there, that promised land that we're given is heaven. And the only way we're going to get there is we really believe God when he says, change, repent. It's a battle. It's a battle to give up the old habits. I'm having a hard time right now as it is. I'm having a hard time. But I have one thing that a lot of people don't have. Well, they probably do, but they don't realize. I've got my wife with me. She is one of my right hand, my left hand. You know, we both work together, and sometimes we falter, and she points out things on me, and I understand. And I've got to change. I've got to have my faith so I can move forward. Just like these people in the Bible that we read so much about. And then we come to King David, a favorite of God. King David, a good leader. He slew a giant, but he faltered. He did something terrible too. He committed adultery and he had a man killed, the woman's husband. But he realized he was wrong and he changed, he repented. And in Psalm 51, you see his confession and his heartfelt. And this is what we should do. We're sinners, and we should be like David and repent and change our lives. It's a battle. He had a battle. It wasn't easy for him because he had his faith in God. He moved forward after that, became a great, great king. Now, the one that really troubled me a little bit was Jonah. Jonah. Called by God to go to this country of Nineveh, tell him to repent or God would destroy that city, Nineveh. Maybe 100,000 people there. But he faltered too. He decided to go the other way. He figured, well, God's going to do it. I don't need to be there. But God gave him a message to take to them. And when he was thrown overboard, I'm trying to make a little bit short here, because of his stubbornness and because of what was happening in that boat. They threw him overboard, and God had a great fish swallow him up. Can you imagine being in the belly of a fish for 3 days, all that seaweed around you? Your body didn't decompose. And finally, he repented, and I'll follow the Lord. I'll do what he wants me to do. In faith, he finally had enough faith in his confession that what he had done wrong. And he vomited out into the shore. He got himself cleaned up, went to that city of Nineveh. And he told the people if they didn't repent, God was going to destroy that city. And even the king heard about it. And the king said, all right, everybody will fast for 3 days, including the animals, and we will repent. And God did not destroy that city. You know, it takes a lot to move forward sometimes when God calls us to do something. I'm sometimes like Jonah. I want to go the other way. But I know I have to move forward instead of backwards. And I think we all have that problem too, don't we? God tells us to do something and sometimes we think, oh, well, no, let somebody else do it. Let somebody else, somebody that has more knowledge of the Bible, or somebody that is in the church that's doing a little bit more, let's let him do it or her do it. That's not what God wants. He doesn't call the intelligent all the time. He calls people like you and I. I'm not saying you're not intelligent, but you know what I'm saying, right? There's people that take on a lot of responsibility, and we depend on them all the time to do this. Let's do our part. Let's do our part. You know, a storm is coming upon us. A storm that we're not going to be able to overcome only through Jesus Christ. Amen. If we stand firm and do his will, we'll be able to stand. That storm is coming. We know it. The Bible gives us all that information. Ellen G. White's writings. That is going to happen. We have to prepare our hearts now to move forward in faith. It doesn't matter what they do to us. I know a lot of people say, well, I'll wait till the last minute. Mm-mm. We have to prepare our hearts now. Now is the time. We can't wait till then. You know, there are many people in faith in the Bible that you can really get a good sermon on that has so much faith. And here we are sometimes like them, kind of struggle like Peter. Peter struggled, didn't he? He even denied his Savior. But when he did repent, he strengthened his brothers. He had his greatest sermon on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls or better were baptized. Can you imagine that powerful sermon he gave? Doesn't show it all in the Bible here. But we can imagine, we can hear him in our minds play that over and over what he did. And then we have a lot of them in the Elijah, powerful men. They did God's will. They did not hold back. They moved forward. They did what he wanted them to do, and they did it right. We can do the same. There's a lot of stories in the Bible. Ruth. Remind Ruth, not even a Jew married to a Hebrew. Her husband died. All was left was her mother-in-law. And she went with her mother-in-law, Naomi, into Israel to live there. And she's listed in the heritage of Jesus Christ, in the bloodline. Many are. You know, we studied about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, they moved forward. They weren't afraid of anything that was going to happen to them. They didn't care because they knew God was going to take care of them. Even if they did die, they had a promise that they would be saved in the new kingdom. The thief on the cross, when he was dying on that cross, he couldn't come down from the cross and say, okay, I'm going to change my life and I'm going to do this and do that for God. No, he was hanging on the cross. But he said, remember me to Jesus when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus told him, today, I'm telling you today, you will be with me in paradise. And we know that he didn't go to paradise right away because he died, and Jesus died too, and Jesus was buried in 3 days. And he hadn't gone to heaven. He still stayed down here for a while and taught his disciples, even gave more information. So you see, faith, a lot of people say faith is just believing. It's not just that. It's doing also. It's doing also. I have a lovely wife. She takes care of me. And she has enough faith to keep us going. I say she's my anchor. I'm her anchor. We both work together. And we get along good. You know, nobody's perfect in this world. But we have to depend on somebody and on somebody else, and not only just on Jesus Christ, even in our own inner circle here of friends, to give us encouragement to move forward. Brothers and sisters here, we help each other. Through prayer, we encourage each other. And that's what we have to do. We have to be one big happy family, because when we get to heaven, we're all going to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And I want to be there, and I tell you, it's kind of tough. This world is tough. There's so many things out there that are drawing us away from God. Many things. I'm trying to get away from a lot of that, and it's really hard. It is. It's hard for everybody. In school, the kids go to school, they're bullied. A lot of them are. Just because they're different. They don't like this, they don't like that. Well, you should. And they're just bullies. And sometimes they don't like the way you look. You look different. So what? God cares about us. He doesn't care what we look like. He's our Father. And I know we all love our children, right? Yes, we do. We don't care what they look like, how they walk, how they talk. They're still our children. We love them. And that's what God does too with us. He loves us so much. He wants us to be with Him. And the only way we're going to do it is, again, I'm going to say it, is in faith. Believe that what He will lead us. And if we really move forward like we should, like the apostles, you know, they moved in faith. They did all they could. They did all they could. And then we can come back to Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah. They didn't listen to him when he was giving them a message to repent. Otherwise, they were going to be going into captivity. Nobody listened to him. They just ignored him. They threw him in a pit. How could they do that to a man that's telling them to settle down and get right with God? And we have that today, don't we? People don't like us because of our faith. We're different. We're called names, legalists. If they really knew the true meaning of legalist, they wouldn't do that. They call us a, what is that other word? A cult. A cult is all it is a gathering of people. Only they don't look at it that way when they talk to us about it. We have the best news for this world, and it is our duty to move forward and take it to them. You know, we don't have to go out and get a group of people and start preaching to them. No. A book, literature, something that you give them, then let God lead them. That's what God does. He touches their heart through these books, Steps to Christ. We all have a responsibility in this world to do something. You know, the children are, people say they're the future. No, they're present because they're here and they work right along with us. Only we don't give them the much credit that they should have coming. They participate in Sabbath school. They come up, sometimes they sing. You know, children are very valuable to this church. If we didn't have any children, they, once we die, that's it. No children to take over. They are our church today. And as they're learning today what God wants them to teach, wants us to teach them, we've got good Sabbath school teachers in all the churches. They're bringing them up so that when we're ready to retire from doing our work, they're going to take hold of it. Joel, in the book, the youth will do more than the elders. We dream dreams. They will see visions. They will be the leaders. And that's what they're doing now. In our new schools, our schools that we have, they're learning. So the day comes when we can't do it, they're going to be right there with us. Give us that support that we need. Our children are very valuable, more valuable than we really realize. We have three children alive now. We've got grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And they know about the Lord, not because we teach them, but because what they see in us. And I'm going to read to you about all these apostles. I've been wanting to get this out for quite some time. We think so much of some of these martyrs as to how they went and died, but we don't really take into account what they really went through. They died horrible deaths. They were all insulted. You know, we know that. They made fun of them. They did some good things for the Lord, and the people didn't like that. Look what they did to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They mocked him. They laughed at him when he was dying on the cross. If you are God, come on down from the cross and save yourself. No, he had to pay the penalty for you and I. Our sins were on his shoulders. Our sins are what kept him going. Otherwise, he would have just said, well, I'm going to go back to heaven with my Father and forget about these people. But he knew that we were valuable. Even if only one he would have died for, would have been worth it for him. Even he even went through the separation from his Father. His Father could not be there where sin is. He was there probably, but in Ellen G. White's writings, he was there. God was there, and so were the holy angels, but everything was dark. Jesus could not see past the tomb. He didn't know whether it was going to be satisfactory for the God, for his Father, but yet he moved forward and had faith that he would be resurrected. And he did come after 3 days on Sunday morning. The apostles, it might kind of shock you a little bit. Mark, well, let's start with Matthew. Matthew. And we know Matthew was a felon, right? We knew he was a felon. He used to take money from the people that charged him the taxes, and he would get a little extra, maybe double that, what the tax was worth, and put the rest in his pocket, plus his salary. He was slain with a sword in the city of Ethiopia, a distant city of Ethiopia, slain for his faith. Mark, he was cruelly dragged through the streets of that city in Alexandria. He expired there. They dragged him. Luke, not even an apostle, he was a Gentile, but he wrote the book of Luke. He was hanged upon an olive tree in the classic land of Greece, city of Grecia. John was quite extraordinary, wasn't he? He was called Jesus' best friend, his beloved. He was put in a cauldron of oil, boiling oil, but escaped death in a miraculous manner and was awarded banishment. I mean, he was afterwards banished to the island of Patmos, and he wrote the great book of Revelation, which is a revelation of Jesus Christ. I heard one pastor say that he just took like a sauna bath in a hot oil. Can you imagine? Have you ever seen a big cauldron of oil where they do the hot, I don't know if you've ever been through there, where they do the pig, they put them in a cauldron and it's smoldering and you get all that grease and all that stuff out of them. Have you ever seen that? I have. And I'm going to say this. I like that because the chicharrones that they came out of there. You don't know. What do they call in English anyway? Huh? Something like that. Anyway, anybody that's Hispanic knows what chicharrones are, right? This comes from the pork. It's a hide. Anyway, that is really good food. All it tasted then back then is great. Well, I know it's not good for you. But anyway, I can imagine that happening right now to some of us. Yeah, we're all going to go through a lot of stuff. James the Greater was beheaded at Jerusalem. And James the Less was thrown from a lofty pinnacle of the temple and then beaten to death with a fuller's club. Oh, I've been in some fights, and I'll tell you, that was bad. This is worse. And Bartholomew was flayed alive. Andrew was bound to a cross when he preached to his persecutors until he died. Preaching. You see and you read about these martyrs that have gone through such torture and yet they're praising God. Boy. Thomas the Doubter was run through the body with a lancet. Coromandel in the East Indies. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was first stoned and then beheaded. Barnabas of the Gentiles was stoned to death at Salonica. Paul, after various tortures and persecutions, was at length beheaded at Rome by Emperor Nero. Paul, he was beaten, tortured. How many times? 15 or 20 times he went through that, but yet he had faith in God. He moved forward and he did not falter, and he kept on preaching. And that's what we have to do till the day we die for our Lord and Savior. We have to stand for him and preach the truth. And there's many in my family that don't think that God is coming soon. They have many, many thoughts of down the road. They'll wait till then. We can't wait. We cannot wait till the day Jesus comes to change our lives, because we're only one heartbeat away. One heartbeat away, one breath. Did you know that? Let today be the day to change your life. I'm going to. And I'm going to have my wife help me, because without her and without my Savior, it's kind of tough. Because temptations are out there. Every day we're assailed by Satan with temptations to do this, do that. Anyway, who cares? That's his motto. You can wait till tomorrow. Anyway, Jesus loves you. Yeah, he does. But if we don't obey, we will be lost. One heartbeat away. We don't need that. We don't need that. My parents, I'll tell you about my parents. I love my father and I love my mother. They always told me, don't do this, don't do that. I did and I did. And I got in trouble. I finally learned, after a while, it's best to listen and to obey. It took me a long time to realize quite a few, not, I wouldn't call them beatings, I say correction. I did some terrible things. Broke windows from a train. Yeah. I met my dad's belt several times. My mother too. Her hand. You know, we all do things and we say, well, it's just part of life. It could be, but we have to change. I had to obey my mother. I had to obey my dad. My dad gave me counsel, and sometimes I didn't listen. My mother did too. One time, I want to tell you a little bit about what happened with me and my mother one time. She was in the kitchen cooking, and I have a cousin, and he used to call his mother by her name. Her first name, yeah. He used to call her by her first name. And I thought, oh, that's cool. I'm going to call my mother by her first name. I walked in. Hi, Socorro. That's my mother's name. And she says, what? Hi, Socorro. I'm Mom. Everybody else can call me Socorro. You call me Mom. We're not on a first name basis. Okay. Yeah. I learned. Mom is Mom. I can't imagine when my kids coming to, hey, Alfonso. Huh? It doesn't sound right, does it? No. I learned my lesson. It took me a while, quite a while, to obey. And this is what we have to do today. Our Master, our Heavenly Father, calls us to obey. Ten commandments is all. Ten commandments, not more than that. That's all we need to live right and prepare our hearts and minds for when Jesus comes to take us home. Again, I'll say, we're only one heartbeat away. Only one. Our closing hymn is 88. I sing the mighty power of God.
And let's stand as we sing together.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, oh, we come to Thee, Lord, this morning. We know, Father, that we have a long way to go. Each one of us has to make up our minds as to what direction we're going to travel. We ask that the Holy Spirit dwell within us and guide us every day, Lord, because we know You're going to come soon, Lord. We don't know the date. Could be 100 years from now, but to us, it's soon. We know that if we sleep in Jesus, we have that blessed hope and that promise. If faithful, we will see His face, and He will take us to heaven. We ask that You guide us, Lord. Guide our children, all my friends here, my brothers and sisters here in Christ, that You would bless them with the Holy Spirit to continue to work in their hearts and in their minds, Lord, and in mine and in my family too, Lord. Draw us closer every day. Our steps, sometimes we may falter, Lord, but You are there to pick us up and help us move forward. Bless each one here again today, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.
Of food today. Please stick around. It's Mexican food. We're having a Mexican fiesta. Fiesta.